Hi, welcome to the Eatosis Podcast, episode 9.
Now I know what you're thinking. Dude, where the f*** have you been, man? Oh, the lully lamp is back. All is right with the world. Is there a bulldog underneath the lully lamp?
Yes, there is.
See, once you become famous, you need security. The reason that I'm late, ladies and gentlemen, is because when I came back from the US, I lost my voice. Yeah, so I've had like a week of meds and being silent. I cannot tell you how frustrating it is to have no voice. But hey, you're a citizen of India in 2015, so you understand. You know the feeling. Let's begin.
Let's begin with our top story of the week segment we like to call
Big Shit. The Prime Minister Narendra Modi went to Paris this week, ladies and gentlemen. That's right, or as we like to call it, Modi in Paris. For the Climate Change Summit, a summit where the top leaders from across the world sit down in the most beautiful city in the world to talk about why things are so shitty in other cities in the world. That's right, it's like talking about how to end starvation at Haldiram's. But hey, Modi made a great speech, right, where Modi was like, "Bhene thotak responsibility for climate change." And everyone was like, "Yay!" And then Modi was like, "But the developed world needs to take larger responsibility for climate change." And the developed world was like, "Boo." And the developing world was like, "What is climate change?" But Modi, ladies and gentlemen, made a speech in English. That's right. Modi was like, "Climate change is important for future of the earth." And everybody was like, "That's impressive." And then Francois Hollande was, "Bonjour, monsieur, mademoiselle." And Angela Merkel was like, "Guten Tag, madame, madame Notel." And Xi Jinping was like, "Ni hao." And everybody was like, "Oh, so kind of unnecessary." Then Modi met Barack Obama, and Barack Obama was like, "Prime Minister Modi is a very close friend." And Modi was like, "Oh dear." And Nawaz Sharif was like, "Been there, done that." Then suddenly Modi met Nawaz Sharif for a total of 160 seconds. And the entire world was like, "This is a chance for peace." And the press was like, "This is going to lead to bilateral talks." And the entire public was like, "Why do the two of them look so shady? What are they talking about?" Because literally, this is how the conversation between Modi and Nawaz Sharif looked. "Bro, yeah bro, are we agreed? Agreed bro. So we are making a commitment." "Yeah bro, commitment." "And we don't go back until both parties reach their goals." "Yeah bro, goals, goals." "So how much do you want?" "$2 bro." "Okay, that's 7,500. "Cool bro. How are you going to send me the money?" "I'll send it with a liberal bro. We keep sending them to Pakistan." "When do I see you next?" "Tomorrowland bro. Peace out. But not too much, please."
Let's quickly do everything else that happened in the week segment we like to call Quick Shit.
So, Aamir Khan, ladies and gentlemen. And I know, when I say that, you have a couple of different reactions.
"He's sucking up because of Delhi Belly."
"Hey, Sallu Bhai is better, okay?"
Great boxer. The last 3 weeks in India, ladies and gentlemen, have been a huge debate about whether Aamir Khan will leave the country or not because he made a statement about intolerance. I just wanted to explain something to you. Aamir Khan shoots 2 movies a year. Each movie has 5 songs. Each song is shot in 10 different locations. So Aamir Khan is already leaving the country more than anybody you know on an annual basis. Has more frequent flyer miles than Modi. Also, all he said was that his wife Kiran was worried about her child in today's India. Every single mother is worried about her child in every single version of India. If we are going to throw out every single mother that is legitimately worried about her child, India is going to be left with like 500 million dudes and Indrani Mukherjee. The Shiv Sena then offered a 1 lakh rupee reward to people who are willing to slap Aamir Khan in the face. And I bet you there are some people out there who think this is a legitimate career plan.
"Dude, we need to slap Aamir Khan in the face."
"But why?"
"Cash reward bro, cash reward."
"Okay, how we will do the slapping?"
"We go to his house bro."
"No, no, too much security."
"Okay, we go into his van bro."
"No, no, again, too much security."
"Okay, so we hire a professional bro."
"What kind of professional?"
"You know, somebody who's good at like harassing people and attacking celebrities and being violent."
"But that is the Shiv Sena bro."
"Oh, so this is outsourcing."
But then the Shiv Sena clarified that this actually wasn't the Mumbai Shiv Sena who offered the reward. It was the Punjab version of the Shiv Sena. Why do you need a Punjab version of the Shiv Sena? What do they do?
like Cafe Coffee Day in Bhandup. Who goes?
The Queen of England turned 90, ladies and gentlemen.
Which means if you think about it, this queen has actually lived through like apartheid, the end of the empire, World War II, and like the Iraq War. I'm sorry, when I said lived through, I actually meant to say responsible for. But you know, I don't know how a Queen of England celebrates her 90th birthday, but I can imagine it's pretty tough to sing happy birthday to the Queen. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Lovely.
Happy birthday, dear Elizabeth II of the House of Windsor, by the grace of God, of the United Kingdom and Great Britain and Northern Ireland, and of our other realms and territories, Queen and Head of the Commonwealth, Defender of the Faith. Happy birthday to you, Mum.
You know what?
So this week we kicked a couple out of a theater for not standing during the national anthem.
Not only did an angry mob intimidate the couple, they cheered and clapped when the couple was forced to leave the theater because, you know, I can understand how another person not standing up for the national anthem can be totally infuriating. This is kind of how the logic goes down.
Hey, they're not standing for the national anthem.
It's okay, Baba, let it be.
No, it is disrespectful. One should always be totally focused on the national anthem.
But wait, aren't you totally focused on them right now?
You shut the fuck up. They have to stand.
But why?
Our patriotism is not in our hearts and our minds. It is in our calves and our hamstrings, okay?
So what do you want to do?
Let us go over there and we will threaten them with violence.
And that's patriotic?
No. But it makes me look patriotic.
Okay, and after that, what will we do?
After that, we will go back to watching the movie in this patriotic environment with the patriotic content.
Okay.
Dekh, kya James Bond chummi le raha uska Monica ka? Hey, kaat diya.
Here's my thoughts on it, ladies and gentlemen. Do I stand when I hear the national anthem? Yes, I do. Why? None of your business. My patriotism is mine to express. It's a personal emotion. Who died and made every single Indian class monitor with a ruler to check everybody's patriotism?
Salman Rushdie and the Satanic Verses, ladies and gentlemen.
P. Chidambaram, ex-finance minister and inventor of the British accent, came out this week and stated that it was wrong of the Congress government to ban Salman Rushdie's book, The Satanic Verses. Now, this move comes close to 20 years after the book was released. That's right, 20 years, which is just about how long it takes to read the Satanic Verses. Now, I don't know how Salman Rushdie reacted to the news, but I imagine it went something like this.
Salman, they said the ban on your book was wrong, man.
No, I know. It's cool. It's fine.
Which means you've been living in hiding and fearing for your life for no reason whatsoever.
No, like I said, it's cool. It's totally fine. I forgive them.
I mean, your whole life would have been different if they just said the same shit 20 years ago.
No, like I said, it's totally fine. I forgive them. We're at peace. We're happy.
And now Chetan Bhagat is the best-selling author in India.
Yeah.
On the podcast, ladies and gentlemen, we take questions on Twitter and Facebook and say we will find the answers through comedy segment we like to call Ask Shit.
So our first question, Amartya Acharya wants to know, what is Victoria's secret? You know, Amartya, I'm not so sure, but I'm pretty sure it's something to the effect of like, panty bahut mehenga hai. Gaurav Barua wants to know, and I love this one, where is the Northeast and what do people do there? Well, hey Gaurav, here's a suggestion. Head north and then go east. And what do people do there? I'm pretty sure they don't ask you questions. I'm just saying. I'm sorry. Our last question, ladies and gentlemen, comes from Venki, who wants to know, why do they keep debating intolerance in Parliament and will it come to anything? And that brings us to a segment we like to call Serious Shit. Well, Venki, I'm going to answer your question. I don't think the parliamentary debate on intolerance is going to come to anything because I don't think intolerance is a problem in India. I don't think India is intolerant. I think tolerance is the problem. Indians are tolerant. Too tolerant. And we justify our tolerance with trade-offs. We may have to tolerate something, but hey, There's always a trade-off in India. We tolerate the fact that a woman is raped every 30 minutes because, hey, men are doing pretty well. We tolerate the fact that we have religious hatred because, hey, for my religion, awesome statue is being built. We tolerate the fact that we can't speak our minds because, hey, not speaking your mind means not having to use your mind. We tolerate the fact that our leaders make sexist and dangerous remarks because, hey, I'm not in any danger and neither is my sex. We tolerate the fact that homosexuality is still a crime because, hey, marital rape still goes unpunished. We tolerate the fact that our kissing scenes are cut down in movies because, hey, if I'm not getting any, why should James Bond, huh? We tolerate the fact that women are told what to wear in this country because, hey, then I don't have to look at what I can't have anyway. We tolerate the fact that there is corruption and bribery because, hey, I have enough money to bribe people. We tolerate the fact that our educational system is oppressive because, hey, I graduated already. We tolerate the fact that we are told what to eat and what not to eat because, hey, there's so much shit coming out of my mouth every day, I might as well control what goes in. So we are tolerant. Nothing but tolerant. That's what you don't get. Indians are tolerant. India is tolerant. The government, on the other hand, and I want to clarify, when I say the government, I mean this one, the last one. Every single one is not tolerant, is intolerant. And you don't think this is a problem because in India, we seem to have forgotten that it is not the government's job to tolerate the people. It is the people's job to tolerate the government. The government doesn't tell you what to do. The government is supposed to ask you what you want. The government doesn't change the way that you function. You can change the way the government functions, all right? We have learned this from people throwing rocks in Egypt, from kids in Chinese squares. So is your government intolerant? Hell yes. Whose fault is it? Yours. Because you are way, way, way too tolerant.